Before I call on Celeste, we didn't cease giving. We didn't give up on our dream to build that building in front of this church. We already have everything. We have set it up. We didn't give it up. So no one is being paid in this church, but all the money that you'll be giving, we are allocating it into that building which we're gonna build in front of this church. Okay, so it will be in good hand. I'm not saying that it's bad to pay the pastors, but we don't need it anyway at the now. And God bless us for that. Can I call on Celeste, and she will read to us our text.
Good morning to everybody. Let us pray and honor God. God, when I consider all that you have made, I am in awe of you. Nothing compares to you. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for showing me what it means to belong to you. Amen. Amen. I will be reading about, in my dialect, it's Bicol dialect. It's part of southeastern Luzon in the Philippines. It's called Bicol here. Matthew 26, verse 44 up to 46 is a King James Version in Bicol Central. Asin binayaan niya sinda, asin naghali giraray, asin namibi sa ikatulong beses, na sinasabi ang kaparehong mga tataramon. Dangan uminabot siya sa iyang mga disipulo, asin nagsabi sa sainda, magkaturog na kamungon yan, asin magpahingalo. Uminabot na ang oras, asin ang aki nin tawo ipinagkanulo sa mga kamot ni mga makasalan. Bangon, maduman na kita, naririnig mo, uminabot na ang nagkanulo sako. In English translation, King James Version, Matthew 26, verse 44 up to 46. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and said unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Celeste. I understand some of the words, but we don't speak that that language in where we live. The Philippines is very rich in dialect. We've got 32 languages, dialects, I think. But some words are similar. Can I fix this, Johnny? Can you help me? I want to put this down a little bit. No. This one. Thank you. Can you put it there? The topic is not as I will, but as you will, Father. You notice that photo there? I have to learn how to do how Pastor Joe will do his sermon. I used to do that, but I just get lazy putting it. And I realize it's good to have some photos. I see. So I've learned it last night. Hallelujah. Old people can learn if they want to. With the drone, it's not me who's learning it. I have Kyle first learn it, and then Elijah learn it first, and then he'll teach me. And many times I forget it, I call him. How do you do this? How do you do that? So praise God for the grandchildren. Not as I will, but as you will, Father. That was the word of Jesus in Gethsemane. But actually, there are some more verses that we have to understand, to read before we go into our topic. So let's start it from Matthew 26, 4:36. So let's start it in Matthew 44. Let's begin from, so that I can do it well. Let's begin from 36, ready? Begin. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply depressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Next. He went a little farther and fell to his face. He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Can you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Next. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He came and found them sleep again, and their eyes were heavy. So he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." 46. "Rise and let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." I have a question. And don't say your answer. Just say it in your mind, okay? Have you ever prayed the same kind of prayer? "Not my will, Father. Let this cup pass over me. Let this suffering or whatever unnecessary circumstance come on me. Let it pass." Have you ever prayed about that? I did. But it's a different prayer. When I was a young Christian, so I fell in love with Louisa, and our pastor heard about it, that I wrote a letter to her. Before, there was no cell phone. All you can do is write a love letter, a long one, three pages. Yeah, because we are studying accounting, so I have this yellow sheet paper where we use in accounting. So I wrote 3 pages of that. And when the pastor knew it, they talked to me, said, "Dads, don't create trouble among the disciples." He's discipling students at that time. I think three of them, four. That's going to be pastors later on. And I'm not one of them because I'm just a new Christian. And I was so hurt, really. But I stayed. I didn't leave. Louisa was there, so why do I leave? If you're really in love, stay. And my prayer was, "Lord, not my pastor's will, but yours be done." And then one day, I didn't stop. I continued. I think he just didn't realize he can't stop me. And I asked Louisa, "Do I have a hope?" That's the way we ask if a woman likes you later on. "Do I have a hope?" And she said, "Dads, if the Lord say yes, then yes for me." And that was the trouble. Because I was a new Christian, I was just probably about 5 or 6 months old in the Lord, so I didn't know much about the word. But God knows my heart. I really love the Lord. That's the difference between me and those disciples that were also in love with her. Who cannot be in love to a woman who has a job, accounting? who was very intelligent in class. In fact, she graduated cum laude. She was my classmate, but I was more talkative than her. So they thought I'm more intelligent, but now she's more intelligent in accounting. We graduated both in accounting, but I didn't pursue it because I'm not as good as her in accounting. My brain is just so much that it cannot take it. And at the second time that I prayed that word when I was when I applied for train driving, I was already on the short list on train driving. I thought I could get it. But I said to the Lord, Lord, if this is not your will, then your will be done. And I didn't get it. I didn't realize that after 3 weeks, a man was hit by a train close to Auckland. And I thought, if I was that driver and I killed that man, how can I forgive myself? So that's why I didn't drive that train. And maybe, and I believe that this is the best work that I can do. Just drive the bus. Don't go to the train. It's too big. Now, let's go one by one. I'm doing an expository preaching today. Okay? You look at that. So in verse 36, this is what it says. Then Jesus came to them with them to a place called Gethsemane. Let's talk about Gethsemane. This is at the east of the temple in Jerusalem, across Brook Kidron, on the lower slopes of Mount Olives. So it's just there, surrounded by ancient olive trees. Mount of Olives, olive trees, which means olive press. There, olives were, or the neighborhood that were living there, crushed olives for oil. They make oil out of the olives. So to the Son of God, probably it's not a confidence, it's a plan that he has to be there because he's going to be crushed later on. So he was there. That was the start. That's where they went before he got captured by the soldiers. He chose that garden amongst the gardens in Jerusalem because Judas knew the place. Jesus used to go there. He wanted retirement. He wanted to die. He wanted to be captured. But he did not want a place where he could not hide himself. Or he could hide himself. Physically and mentally, obviously, he was not ready. Because he said, can this cup pass through me? But his spirit, he said, not my will, but thine. Not my will, Father. But it's your will. Do it as you will it. In verse 37, next, he said, in verse 37, he began to be sorrowful and deeply depressed. Look at that photo. Have you tried that one day? So depressed. I know how to be depressed, guys. Louisa knows me. When I'm depressed, I cannot sleep. I cannot sleep. And most of my depression is when I offended somebody, and I know they're so deeply hurt because of whatever I did, maybe a comment or something, and they were so affected by it. Jesus was disturbed, in part from knowing the physical horror waiting for him at the cross. As he came to Gethsemane from central Jerusalem, he crossed the Brook Kidron and saw the full moon, because that stream is where the blood flowing from those animals that are being slaughtered at the temple. The sacrificial lambs, the goats, or whatever animal that has been slaughtered there, only a part of it will be taken from every offering. And so those blood flows over that brook, that Kidron. The words in the Greek are expressive and of the greatest sorrow that we could imagine. The Greek word for sorrow is so much that in English it cannot be explained but the Greek can. In verse 38, it says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. But more so, Jesus was distressed from the horror waiting for him on the cross. Jesus would stand in the place of guilty sinners and receive all the spiritual punishment sinners deserve, not just few, but all mankind, from Adam to the last man or woman to be born. If it's just probably us here, we'll probably, it's still painful, but imagine how many men, women had been born up to the last person to be born. Jesus did not die as a martyr. Jesus went to his death knowing that it was his Father's will that he faced death completely alone as the sacrificial lamb, Passover lamb. As his death was unique, so also his anguish. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, let's read all together. Ready, begin. He who knew no sin would be sin for us. He never sinned, but he became sin because he took our sins. And our best response to it is being always grateful unto him. And of course, we should give him the highest praise. That's why we sing praise together. Hopefully, we will have a revelation from our hearts of what he had done as we are singing it. Yet, in this hour of special agony, God the Father sent special help. We read that in Luke 22:43. He sent angels to minister to him in the garden. But that was the last help that the Father had given him. Later on, he even leave him while on the cross. That's why he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? In verse 39, it says, if it's possible, let this cup. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Of course, all things are possible with God except sin. He cannot sin because he is holy by nature. And also, it is impossible to please him without faith, because in Hebrews 11:6, it says there, it is impossible to please God without faith. It not with our works, we cannot please him with our works. But if we work, it is because we believe that we should be working. That's the belief that pleases him. And it was not possible for God to atone the sin of man and redeem the lost humanity apart from the perfect, wrath-satisfying sacrifice that Jesus prepared himself when he was in Gethsemane. The animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament were just a temporary atonement every year for those that offer it. But Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, is once and for all the ultimate sacrificial Lamb that will take away the sins of the entire world. Paid all men's sin. But why do men still go to hell? Because they didn't receive the gift of God, who is Jesus. That's the only problem now. To have faith, receive the gift, so that when the gift you receive, it will stay in you forever and will make you holy, not because of yourself, but because of the indwelling presence of God in you. That's why you can be called saint. In verse 39, it says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God the Father would never deny. Is that the one? Verse 39, can you go back a little bit? Yeah, that's the one. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Can I not suffer from this? That was the request. God the Father would never deny the Son's request, because Jesus prayed according to his heart. And the will of the Father, of course, the Father will want to let the cup pass, that suffering pass. Since Jesus drank the cup of judgment on the cross, We knew and we know that it is not possible for salvation to come in any other way. There's no way. That's the only way. Jesus has to take the punishment. That's the only way that we could take salvation. We could have salvation. Salvation by work, by the work of Jesus at the cross, is the only possible way. If there is any other way to be made right before God, then Jesus died is unnecessary death. But that is the only way possible. The death of the Lamb of God to be offered for the sins of the world. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, the cup is a powerful picture of the wrath and judgment of God, and Jesus suffered for it for our benefit. When it says cup, we read in the Old Testament, it is a powerful picture of the wrath of God. Jesus became, as it were, the enemy of God at that time. He was judged and forced to drink the cup on the Father's fury, so we would not have to drink it from that cup, from that suffering. This was the source of Jesus' agony. The cup didn't represent death, but judgment. Jesus was unafraid to die. He gave his life. And when he had finished the work in his cross, he gave his life. The work of receiving and bearing the satisfying the righteous judgment of God, the Father, upon our sin. When he finished that work, he simply yielded himself to death as his choice. You see, God is love, but it doesn't stop there. God is just. He cannot tolerate sin. Somebody has to pay for that sin. It's either us, go to hell as a punishment, or somebody else. In the Old Testament, they have to offer bulls, lambs, animals. But during that time, when Jesus came, he is the last and perfect offering for our sin. It was done through him. In verse 39, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's what he said after he was asking that it will pass. Jesus came to a point of decision in Gethsemane. It wasn't that he had not decided before, nor had consented before, but now he had come upon a unique point of decision. He drank the cup or the judgment at Calvary, but the decision, he decided once and for all and drink that cup when he was at Gethsemane. Anything that you want to happen happens when you decide to do it in prayer. That's the way we pray. Praise God. One of our sisters, when we were in Christ Church, he was really desperate. In fact, with the cell group, they said that he was crying because her visa will end up to April, and he has not found a job. But he's already qualified because he studied here. And I told her, just pray. Don't give up. We will pray. And then the cell group was there with her, Joseph's cell group, and they prayed. And you know what? Last Friday, he was accepted. He got a job in Gisborne. And that's, is she here? She's not here. Huh? Oh, Jyoti. She's at work. And she got the job. Hallelujah. You just have to decide. When you are at your deciding point, don't give up. Just decide. Lord, I can have the job. Just decide. And he got it. But through the support of the brethren. That's why Jesus was asking for support from his disciples. But they didn't support him. They slept because they were very tired. You know why they slept? Because they were with Jesus. They do not have a revelation of what's going to happen. Or even if Jesus was telling them that on the third day, they destroy this temple and I will build it. He's talking about his body, but they don't get it. That he's going to die after 3 days. So that's why this was easy for them, because Jesus was with them. So when they were so tired, they just slept. When you are with Jesus, that's something. If you know you trust Jesus, you can sleep, even in the darkest part of your life, as long as you know how to give it up. This struggle at Gethsemane, the place of crossing, has an important place in fulfilling God's plan of redemption. If Jesus failed here, he would have failed at the cross. If you fail on your decision to say, yes, Lord, I'll go for it, you will fail when you're on that bridge to cross it. His success here made the victory at the cross possible. The struggle at the cross was first won in prayer in Gethsemane. It was not at the cross. He decided. The Bible says that he's like the flint. That he's decided, yes, I'll do it. I go for it. Then in verse 39, fell on his face and prayed. And in verse, and then in it followed, could you not watch me for an hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, he told his disciples. Actually, he talked to Peter. Jesus valued he wanted the help from his friends in this battle, in prayer and decision. But even without their help, he endured in prayer until the battle was won. He didn't stop. Probably if his disciples helped him, probably it would take three times that he had to pray. Verse 41. Is that the one? Prayed the third time, saying the same words. Rise and let's be go. No. Can you move back, please? Yeah. I have something to read about that. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus knew Peter would fail. He knew it, that he will deny him. Yet he encouraged him to victory, knowing that the resources were found in watching and praying. Maybe if he prayed with Jesus, maybe he didn't have to suffer that shameful denying of Jesus. If Peter woke up both physically and spiritually and drew close to the dependence of God, he could have kept from denying Jesus in the critical hour. But he slept. Jesus found victory at the cross by succeeding in the struggle at Gethsemane. Peter, just like us, failed in later temptation because he failed to watch and pray. The spiritual battle is often won and lost before the crisis comes. Speaking kindly about his disciples, Jesus said, 41, next. Pray the third time. Oh, I missed that. I didn't put it. But anyway, this is what it says. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus might find an excuse for their neglect, but how they would blame themselves afterwards for missing the last opportunity of watching and praying with their wrestling Lord. They should have seen him, how he uttered his prayers to his Father, but they chose to sleep. Verse 44, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Yep. This shows us that it's not unspiritual to make same request to God several times. Some hyper-spiritual people believe that we ask for something more, not more than once. It proves that we don't have faith. Some says that before. That may be true for some in some situations, but Jesus shows us that repeated prayer can be completely consistent with steadfast prayer. I pray for my family every day. Same words. It's like praying the rosary. Same words. Every day. Some of you, not all of you, but when I pray some of you, I name names. But I pray for all of you guys, but it's collective. Unless there is a special prayer, like Joanne, I prayed for her every day. Like some of you that needed work, some of you that needed help, healing. And if you put it there, I pray for you every day. But I pray for you collectively usually, because I don't, too many of you. Too many. With my family alone, no. Especially when you are, I used to pray, every day I pray, especially when I'm driving. But I have to control my mind. Sometimes it just go around because you're so concentrated in driving. But most of the times I pray while I'm driving. So it's not really because you lack faith when you pray the same prayer every day for people, for your loved one, especially my love, Louisa. That she will be strong, that she will be more understanding the will of God, that to protect her from. I don't pray for her temptation anymore. Before, when she was younger, I always prayed, Lord. But now that she's a bit on the same age with me, I don't pray for that anymore. Sometimes I do when. But with the younger ones, oh, especially my grandchildren who are growing teenager, oh, I really pray for them because that's the time that, you know, the devil will hit them. So I surround them with prayer. In verse 46, this is what it says. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus knew Judas and those who would arrest him were on the way. He could have run and escaped the agony waiting for him and the cross, but Jesus rose and met Judas. He was in complete control of all events. Now, in conclusion, Gethsemane is a place of decision. You have to decide when you are at the crossroad to say yes to God's will, even if it means death to your will, or death to your plans, or death to your wants, or a place to maybe bargain with God. But you also know that his will is still the best. A place of testing on how much you can go with God. I remember Pastor Joey's testimony when he was in Christchurch. His dad was an angry dad. He beat his wife, the mom of Pastor Joey, that sometimes blood would just be on his nose or her nose. Because of jealousy, the wife, the mother, get jealous of him because Pastor Joey was still 1 year old and he already had a girlfriend. And I know the mom because she's close to me, one of the pastors of the church. It's just a strong lady, I mean. So until even with Pastor Joey, he would beat him, he would kick him, he would box, he would. Until one day he decided, when I grow up, I'll fight you. His word was, I'll kill you, but actually it's not really killing, I'll fight him. And he studied karate and taekwondo to be getting ready to fight him one day. Until one day he was ready already to fight him. But they have guards. They belong to the A-class family, so they're rich. So he was already ready to fight his dad because he beat his wife. Again, he beat his mom, the husband, his dad. That old blood was in the face, and the mom said, Joey, can you help me in this? And that's when he decided he'll go fight the dad. But the guard just went in, and he was the one who pushed the dad out. So he was not able to hit his dad. He cannot really forgive his dad until one day when the dad had a stroke, I think, or something, and he was at the ICU. The wife, the wife said, "Why don't you go and tell him I love you?" It was hard. They already had talks before that, but there was no sense of forgiveness really in his heart. And so he decided, okay, I'll go. And when he said, "I love you," that's when everything broke up. Everything broke up. And the dad said also, "I love you." It was a decision that he has to make to forgive his dad. And that was hard. That was hard. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul is speaking here. He said, "I affirm by the boasting in you," let's read it, "I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." What does he mean by that? He means die from worrying, die from moaning, die from being lazy, die from loving gossip, die from being unforgiving, die from being ungrateful, die for being doubtful, die from being weary every day, die from being critical, die, and other negative thoughts that can come out of us. And it all began from a decision to do it every day. I have to do it myself. Now, I have a question. Have you realized there were just three amongst the disciples that is always with Jesus? Peter, James, and John. Have you thought about that? Even in the Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John. Well, it's not Jesus. They just have no favorites. But it was Peter who was just so aggressively being, even to the extent of saying things that is against the Bible, when he said, "Not with me, I will not let you be killed. That is something like that. And so Jesus said to him, "Satan, get thee behind me." And the two brothers, Peter. All right, it's all right. Yeah. I like your uniform. Nice uniform. Yeah. It's all right. Stand up. Come on, you're good. Stand up. Yeah. Oh, never mind. I love this boy. I see how things change from him. And from being, now you can talk. We should love him. He was here from since he was a baby, and now he's grown up, and now you can talk to him. Yes, we have just have to understand his situation. I've been with this in facilities before, and I love them. For 2 years, I worked for these kinds of clients in the past. So I want to add this. Peter, James, and John are the sons of Zebedee. And one day, their mother went to Jesus and said, "When you are in the kingdom, can my sons sit on your right hand and sit and on your left hand?" From the mother, he had already taught them to get close to Jesus, to God. And they got that revelation. Peter had decided, "I will follow Jesus no matter what." He denied him, but he was there. All the other disciples are gone. John was the best. Even on the cross, John was there. Never left him. And these are the only three disciples that you can find letters. And John has the best among the Gospel of Love, the book of John. Because he was so close to Jesus. Peter has a book, has an epistle. John has a lot of revelation that he wrote revelation about Jesus. It's not Jesus that chose that. It was him who chose to just be close to Jesus. Also with James, we read the book of James, because they choose to be with Jesus no matter what. So they saw in close range the things that Jesus, who Jesus is really, that the other disciples, that the other apostles has not found. And so that's the story of these three disciples. They saw. So with us, brethren, may this be a revelation to us. That when you get into that time of crossroad, the Gethsemane, when you have to make a decision, pray at that time, you can win the victory. You may have to suffer like what happened to Jesus, but after 3 days, he rose again. Is that me? Work. No. They want me to work. No, I'm working 9 o'clock tonight. But probably they want me to come earlier. I'm going somewhere. It's a crossroad. No, it's not a crossroad. It's part of life. But anyway, brethren, you have to make decisions about when you get to that. Just trust about what Jesus can do, and you will have it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and not with your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. And thank you also, Lord, for what you are doing with our son. He was not the same as before. Bless him, Lord. And thank you also, Lord, for the brethren that are here today. Let them learn to decide, especially to forgive, Father God, those that hurt them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good